This edition of the Generations Radio program originally aired in 2015. For additional shows on hundreds of topics, search our archives at generations.org.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, host with you, homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. During the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom in the Western world, and indeed, we are certainly not living the same world we lived in the 18th century, the 19th century, or the 20th century, with the rise of homosexuality, the rise of persecution for Christians in the Western world. Who would have thought that homosexuals would have persecuted Christians by the 21st century in 1960 or in 1950 when President Eisenhower was limiting the access of homosexuals to civil service in the 1950s? Who would have thought that Christians would have been in prison or fined $135,000 for refusing to support a homosexual wedding in Oregon? Who would have thought that in 1955? You know, it's just a lot of changes have come very quickly in the land of the free, the home of the brave. Steve Vaughn also in studio with me today as we discuss what's happening. Now, we're going to take a look at how to handle the rise of tyranny and the potential of imprisonment of families, parents, pastors, etc. And we want to be careful on the one hand not to give way to the ostrich approach, and that is to hide your head in the sand. And a lot of Christians, I'd say a fairly high percentage of Christians are doing that. That's probably 80-90% of Christians just want to hide their head in the sand and not face the facts. The other 10% are going to panic.
Yeah.
The other 10% are going to panic. They're going to get hysterical and give way to paranoia. And just because you're paranoid doesn't mean there isn't somebody out to get you.
That's right.
So keep that in mind. But what we encourage today is careful prudence, careful judgment in handling some of these things. This nation, I think, is facing the judgment of God. Please understand that God is more powerful than all the princes of the world. And ultimately, he handles the powers of every government, of every nation across this world. And so keep that in mind as well. Well, friends, in just a moment, we're going to talk about how to handle some of the conspiracy theories that are coming down the pike. And there is a fair amount of paranoia out there, and I want to address that on this edition of the program. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you today as we address, from the perspective of fathers and pastors and elders, how do you handle the rising persecution, the rising power of the federal state here in America? The fact of the matter is, we are seeing a rising persecution against Christians in this country, and it does not bode well for Christians, and certainly doesn't bode well for freedom.
Right. So Christians need to be prepared, but not to be crazy.
Well, meanwhile, I'm getting other communications from homeschooling families and Christian families around the country with concerns about these sorts of things. Now, here's a very sweet family that wrote in to me, and I think this is indicative of the way some families are looking at the future, and I'm going to read just a little portion of it. They say, we're wondering if there are any necessary preparations we should take concerning this Jade Helm World War III situation. Should we flee the country? What are most homeschoolers doing? Okay, so immediately I'm thinking, World War III? I didn't realize, you know, World War III was happening. So I immediately did a search on this Jade Helm 15 thing, and sure enough, it's out there. People are concerned about Jade Helm.
Yeah, because of the, what are they doing? Like military exercises?
Well, CNN has covered the story of Navy SEALs, Army Green Beret, some 1,200 troops participating in some kind of a training session in American towns. And we've seen this, I think, off and on for a number of years. I remember in the 1990s, people were concerned about the black helicopters and the training sessions.
I was one of them at that time.
Oh, you were one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
so I got kind of sucked
into that. I can remember some of that. And so there's this training going on in American cities, and it's not super extensive at this point, as far as I can tell. According to the Hartford Courant, the conspiracy theories about Jade Helm 15 include a psychological operation aimed at getting people used to seeing military forces on the streets so they don't realize when an invasion actually takes place, an international operation aimed to seize people's guns, recently closed Walmarts used by the military to stockpile supplies for Chinese troops who will be arriving to disarm Americans, and a military plan to round up political dissidents and remove key political figures who may be against the imposition of martial law. And on it goes. Okay, now, a couple of things we need to say from the outset. One is be very, very, very sure of truth. Truth is essential. We need to understand what is true and what is not true. And now, of course, matters are established by two or three witnesses, and I would be very cautious with what is true. Now, secondly, we need to use the Word of God to determine what is of more essence, what is of more egregious character than other things. For example, the fact that millions of babies are killed in this country still to this day on an annual basis versus military exercise going on in some town in America, you know, you've got to understand there are some things that are of more real and present danger than others. So again, some sins are of themselves and by several aggravations more heinous in the sight of God than others. So use the Word of God to balance things out, to apply wise judgment, prudence, to determining what things we ought to be concerned about, what things we ought not to be as concerned about. Now, here's another point I want to make. I think a lot of these conspiracy sites, their worldview, when they take a look at their perspective of metaphysics or reality, typically does not involve very much credence to the sovereignty of God. Now, ask yourself this question. How often does Fox News refer to the providence of God and the sovereignty of God over elections? Now, I'm just picking on Fox News here. I'm not going to Alex Jones. I'm not going to anybody else. I'm just going to Fox News. How many times, ask yourself this question, how many times does Fox News refer to the providence of God and the sovereignty of God over natural events, let alone the kings of the earth? If they don't, they have the wrong worldview, the wrong view of reality. That's why the Generations Radio broadcast has been sponsoring the Worldview in 5 minutes on a daily basis. Why? So that at least some Christians in America, we probably have a listening audience of some 10, 15,000. I would prefer it to be 50,000. My goal is 50,000. But we would love to see more Christians tied into the right perspective of the news, of world events, of what's happening with elections, what's happening with the great conspiracies of the earth. They need to understand that there is a God in the heavens who is entirely sovereign over everything that happens, yes, even over the evil deeds committed by the tyrants of the earth. And I'm afraid that the vast majority of Christians, certainly those plugged into conspiracy theories, do not include the sovereignty of God in their worldview construct, Steve.
Yeah, and God is and always has been, always will be in control. There's nothing that takes him by surprise. And so one of the other things that that sort of got me out of this as well was that God is perfect love, and perfect love casts out all fear. And so if there are certain things out there that are causing you to be afraid because you don't think God's in control, it is not of God. You have to look to God for all things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. He will make your path straight.
Daniel 2:21, Daniel said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belongs to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings." If we begin to see this era turn into a tyrannical era in which great kings centralize power in Washington, D.C., God is the one behind that. He changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. And typically, after the centralization of great power under a few powerful tyrants, he decentralizes it. And it oftentimes turns out to be somewhat anarchical for a period of time. In the meantime, of course, the gospel of Jesus Christ continues. Jesus is head of all things to the church, according to Ephesians chapter 1. So whatever happens is going to be for the benefit of the church, even if there is persecution. Guess what? American Christianity is way too cushy. It's way too broken down and weaky-weaky. And therefore, if God uses persecution in order to increase the faith of God's people in this country, then who knows but that this church here may be as healthy as the church in China in the year 2100. I so hope that will be the case. So, okay, on the one hand, God is sovereign. But now let's take a look at our responsibilities, because we are rightly concerned about the growing imposition of the federal government over our lives. I think we're rightly concerned over the evil of tyranny. And we ought to point that out. We need to be the John the Baptist and the Elijahs as we talk about the national political scene and the rising persecution against Christians. Steve, we need to raise the concern. We need to say, this is wrong. It is wrong for tyrants to do these things. It's wrong for the Supreme Court justices of the United States to take a position in which they endorse the worst sexual abomination ever marketed in any nation in the history of the world. We need to point out that the Supreme Court of the United States are rebels against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they better kiss that son, lest he be angry and they perish from the way.
Yeah, and you brought up Elijah earlier. He did this boldly. He walked in to where Ahab and Jezebel was and said, "It's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain." And as he listened to the voice of God, he was able to boldly do all the things that he did. What's interesting is that when he got a letter from Jezebel and listened to the civil magistrate or listened to the government and how they wanted to be tyrannical against him, and he listened to her, he became afraid and ran. And so we need to be bold in listening to God and doing what God says.
Yeah, and I'm not as concerned over 1,200 troops in Texas as the rising power of the National Department of Education that was increased threefold under George W. Bush, friends, by the way. You want to know what's happening with Washington, D.C.? Take a look at the budget. I'm more concerned about the rising take of the GDP on the part of Washington, D.C. than I am of 1,200 troops. That's a stronger indice that the government is doing what it can to increase its control over education, over welfare, over all these other things. These are problematic issues. And yes, of course, the federal control of local police force is problematic. And we begin to see more and more violation of the Constitution of the United States. And that is another indication that we have a God state moving in on the local communities. That's a concern of us. And of course, always the threat of terrorism, anarchy becomes a ruse for government growth. We know that. That's a no-brainer. Okay, you get a little anarchy, you get a few jets flying into towers, and before you know it, you've got every single citizen in America, their records are being searched, and their computers are not sacrosanct, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so we know that. We know the growth of government typically comes upon the ruse of the rising anarchy and terrorism throughout the country. Now, when does the federal government become so tyrannical that good families who want to protect their own families ought to leave the country? That's a good question. It's a question requiring a fair amount of judgment and wisdom. America is less and less a free country and less inviting to anybody who wants freedom. We know that. That's a given. Thanks to the rising power of the socialist state in America since the early 1900s. But when should Americans leave? You know that you need to get out of Dodge when the bad guys come after the pastors. Okay, this is one thing I told this family who wrote into me, a little concerned that there may be some persecution rising. They may have to get out of Dodge. I said, you know, it's typically the leaders. It's typically those that are communicating through the printing press, through the internet, or through radio programs from basements out on the eastern plains of Colorado that are affected first. It was John Penry, Henry Barrow, and John Greenwood who were dropped from the scaffolds in central London on May 29th, 1593. They were the first pilgrims to be hanged. They were hanged in 1593 under Queen Elizabeth. A lot of people believe that Queen Elizabeth was the good one. No. Come on. The Stuarts were messed up, as were the Elizabeths and the others, the Marys and so forth.
Yeah.
Remember, Elizabeth and Mary were daughters of Henry VIII, so keep that in mind. But now, three pastors hung in 1593. It was about 8 years later, the pilgrims moved off to Leiden, and then it was another 15 years or so after that they moved to America. The point being that they didn't come after everybody, they came after these guys. Now, why did they come after these guys? They had published a book containing the wrong view of church government, a fairly minor doctrinal difference, by the way. Okay, you have a little difference on whether you wanted a congregational or whether you wanted a Presbyterian or Anglican. It's a fairly minute difference. Okay, this is not a major theological controversy. But of course, the civil magistrate used it as a ruse to do what civil magistrates do best when they're on a power trip.
and that is to tyrannize people, kill people.
That's right. So that's what they did. So friends, what do we learn from history? What we learn from history is that the average ordinary homeschooling family is going to be okay. For the time being, they need to keep an eye on what happens to the leaders, to the pastors, to those that are printing books, to those that are taking major issue with what's happening with the civil magistrate or with the mainstream church that is dying out and supporting things like homosexuality.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you sit by and be lazy about everything. You do need to prepare your hearts, and you need to get into the Word and get the Word into you so that you can be ready to give an answer.
And I think we need to keep a full court press going here.
I
think there's a tendency sometimes to hide out and to not vote and to not get involved in the 2016 elections. And I know that's a tendency among homeschoolers. I mean, shame on Christians who didn't vote in the 2016 elections and do what they could to defend religious liberties in the 2016 elections to prevent pastors from going to jail. Shame on them. I don't think Jesus is going to be pleased at all with any Christian who is unwilling to put a full court press upon the bad guys and try to protect some freedoms for Christian pastors and Christian families, Christian parents who want to homeschool. I would hope that we engage. Okay, now before I'm done with this edition of the program, I gotta address one more thing. It's a major earthquake, 9.8 on the Richter scale, that was predicted by some guy named Frank.
Yeah.
That's all I know. There was apparently a major earthquake, 9.8 on the Richter scale. The planets lined up. It all had to do with the planets lining up. And it was predicted by Nostradamus.
I thought that was 1982, because that was when they lined up again. And yeah, California was supposed to fall off into the ocean in 82.
Well, as it turns out, you know, the planets lining up have very little to do with earthquakes on planet Earth. The moon's gravitational pull is 50 times stronger than all the planets in the solar system combined. So keep that in mind. So, and the moon does a little thing. It kind of affects earthquakes, maybe just a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit, but more so it affects the tides. But the fact of the matter is, friends, this Frank on this YouTube video has forecasted a gigantic earthquake, I guess somewhere in the world, but some are saying Los Angeles, 9.8 on the Richter scale. He says, this is a very, very important update. If the prophecy is correct, Los Angeles will go into the sea and Japan will be affected by terrible tsunamis. On August 12th, 2013, I received a message directly from spirits. Okay.
All right.
Okay, whoa for a second. Just whoa for a second. First problem. He's receiving it from spirits. And Nostradamus. By the way, Nostradamus was an astrologer, a psychic, a spiritist. So unless you really want to plug into demon lies, don't bother picking up his stuff. You know, when it comes to astrology and psychic stuff, people are tapping into spirits. They're tapping into demons. And let me say this about demons. I'm not sure everybody understands this about demons. Demons lie.
No.
Yeah. Yep.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yep, they lie. Yep. Yep. In fact, their head, the head king, the king of all demons, he's the father of all lies. So, okay. You know, the people that are so careful to read all this stuff, you know, they're following up on the spiritists and all psychics and stuff, they're plugging into demons, and they are some of the most deceived people on planet Earth. Now, as it turns out, the truth comes from the Word of God. And what happens when people are enamored by all this prophecy stuff and Nostradamus and the Spiritists, it's all very exciting to them, and they'd rather not be distracted by the truth of God's Word. God's Word's boring.
Really?
To a lot of these people.
But yeah.
But you know what? It's the truth. It's the truth that God has assigned for us. It is the absolute truth. It's not the lies of demons. It's the truth of God's Word. And as it turns out, God does not schedule his judgments.
At least not according to demons.
He didn't schedule the exile. He didn't schedule. Yeah. He said it's coming up. He says you're going to be judged. John the Baptist said the axe is at the roots. Nobody knew it was at AD 70. All they knew, they had 40, 50-year heads up, but they didn't know it was going to happen on a certain date in AD 70. They knew the axe was at the root. The prophets give you a sense that judgment's imminent and that judgment will happen. And let me say this. We have a 100% chance of God judging this world.
Yeah, because he said he would.
Because he said he would. Absolutely. Now, Time Magazine on April 28th, 2015 says that there is a significant chance of a significant earthquake in three places around the world, Istanbul, Tehran, and Los Angeles, based on data. Now, they can only do it by percentage. Los Angeles has a 7% chance of an 8.0 earthquake in the next 30 years.
All right.
Okay, that according to seismologists. Now, of course, they have to work with chances. They're inductive. They're simply doing the best they can, but friends, that means there's a 93% chance it's not going to happen. And I'm here to tell you there's a 100% chance of God's judging this world.
Yeah.
Acts 17 and verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And that, my friends, is something you can count on. Why? Because it's the truth of the Word of God. And it cannot err. So Amen. Repent. Repent, for judgment is coming. It's just that God doesn't schedule his judgments with you. He doesn't put it on your day planner. Now, you say, why? Well, I suppose if he did, you would sin all the way up to that day.
That's right.
And then you'd repent or try to repent, and then the judgment would come the next day. I suppose that's the reason. But I don't know. I don't know the reasons why God does not schedule his judgments. I said the same thing when Y2K was around about 14 years ago, 15 years ago.
Yeah, remember I was actually, hysteria? Oh yeah, I was going to sell dehydrated water.
Yeah.
I was going to try to make a buck off these guys.
Yeah. Okay. God doesn't schedule his judgments, much though people wish he would. He doesn't schedule his judgments. Just remember, there is a 100% chance of God's judging the world sometime in the future. And he judges nations, and he will continue to judge nations. Unless they kiss the sun. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. To support the program, go to our website, generationswithvision.com, and click on donate. And this is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we produce the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Thursday, January 4th, AD 2018. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The Islamic country of Iran ranks 8th on the Open Doors 2017 World Watch list for worst persecution against Christians. Believers there are regularly mistreated, detained, imprisoned, and tortured for their faith. A court in the nation's capital of Tehran sentenced at least 11 Christians last year to long prison terms up to 10 years. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu released a message last week speaking up for persecuted Iranian Christians.
A few days ago, Iran's foreign minister tweeted, "Very happy and peaceful Christmas to all." I wonder what the Christians jailed this month in Iran would think about that tweet. Imagine you're praying quietly in your home, surrounded by your family, and all of a sudden, armed thugs burst in and drag you away to prison. They torture you merely for practicing your Christian faith. Welcome to Iran. Saying Merry Christmas while jailing Christians in your own country is the height of hypocrisy. Say a quiet prayer for our Christian brothers and sisters who are suffering at the hands of this cruel Iranian regime. We stand with you, brothers and sisters. The world stands with you.
Despite persecution, Christianity in Iran has been growing at an incredible rate, with tens of thousands of Muslims leaving Islam to serve Jesus Christ. Estimates indicate that Christians may reach 10% of the nation's population, or 7 million people, by 2020. Since the 1979 Iranian Revolution, Islamic extremists in the country have suppressed religious freedom and opposed Western influences. Now, a new wave of unrest swept across the country starting last Thursday in the city of Mashhad. Demonstrators marched in protest against rising prices and government corruption. 21 people have died so far, reports the BBC. Iran's Major General Mohammad Ali Jafari announced the defeat of this quote-unquote sedition amid pro-government counter-rallies. However, new anti-government protests arose on Wednesday in the city of Malyr, with protesters chanting, quote, "People are begging. The supreme leader is acting like God," end quote. President Donald Trump tweeted support for the Iranian protesters yesterday, promising, quote, "great support from the United States at the appropriate time," end quote. Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan." North Korea reopened a hotline with South Korea yesterday that has been closed for nearly 2 years, reports Reuters. This diplomatic breakthrough comes after North Korea's Kim Jong-un expressed interest during a New Year's address in having a delegation from his country participate in the 2018 Winter Olympics to be held in South Korea. In the New Year's speech, Kim Jong-un also stated all of the U.S. is in range of his country's nuclear weapons and, quote, "a nuclear button is always on my desk," end quote. In response on Twitter, Trump boasted he had a much bigger and more powerful button that works. In June of last year, Germany's parliament voted to introduce homosexual faux marriage, allowing such couples to adopt children. 2 months ago, Germany's Federal Constitutional Court ordered lawmakers to introduce a quote-unquote third gender category or drop all gender references from public documents in direct violation of God's created order. Germany joins Australia, India, New Zealand, and Nepal in recognizing an intersex identity on documents and is the first to do so in Europe. Mark 10:6 says, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." The United States Federal Emergency Management Agency announced Tuesday that religious institutions may indeed seek federal natural disaster assistance after several churches filed lawsuits following Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. The Trump administration clarified its position on a policy that had prohibited houses of worship from applying for disaster relief. The FEMA policy guide states it will not, quote, "exclude houses of worship from eligibility for FEMA aid on the basis of the religious character or primarily religious use of the facility," end quote. Abortion giant Planned Parenthood murdered 321,384 babies during its 2016-2017 fiscal year. This is the lowest self-reported annual abortion number since 2007, reports LifeSite News. Taxpayer funding of the murder giant was also reduced from $554.6 million to $543.7 million. However, the company had a record annual income of $1.46 billion, attracting 721,000 new donors. Meanwhile, Planned Parenthood has fallen under criminal investigation for the illegal sale of baby body parts. Proverbs 11:21 says, "Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered." California's Thomas Fire is the biggest in the history of the state, burning around 282,000 acres since the beginning of last month. The fire was 92% contained, though, as of Monday, reports CNN. The charred landscape poses another problem of mudslides in the case of rain. Officials fear with a massive amount of burning, rain could cause destructive slides. In a related story, California became the first state at the end of last year to approve textbooks in favor of sexually perverted lifestyles, in keeping with the state's Fair Education Act, informally known as the LGBT History Bill. And finally, the horrors of World War I came to a halt briefly during the Christmas season in 1914. An incredible spontaneous truce broke out on the Western Front between the warring parties on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Leaving their weapons behind, the British and French soldiers met the Germans in the no-man's land between the trenches, singing Christmas carols, exchanging gifts, and even playing games of soccer together. Soldiers on both sides buried their dead and held Christmas services. One British soldier wrote this on January 5, 1915. Quote, "It is a great hope for future peace when two great nations hating each other as foes have seldom hated should on Christmas Day, and for all that the word implies, lay down their arms and wish each other happiness." End quote. A century later, German and British troops still gather to play soccer and celebrate Christmas. And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Thursday, January 4th in the year of our Lord, 2018. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.